Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
You're listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and this is Season 5, Episode 52. Hey everyone, hope you had a wonderful Easter if you celebrate it. I'm sure the New York Rangers had a wonderful weekend coming off of two pretty impressive victories over the Colorado Avalanche and the Arizona Coyotes on a mini West Coast road trip. As of this recording, at least as I'm recording right now on Sunday evening, the New York Rangers are the top team in the entire NHL, but their margin for victory and of the President's Trophy is pretty slim because there are some other good teams, not just in the NHL, but in their own division. We're going to get into all of that just coming up here on this podcast. Now, first, I did want to address the elephant in the room. Sorry if you were expecting a podcast on Thursday. I don't know how else to say this, but it sounds very much like a dog ate my homework sort of situation. But I sat down to record a solo podcast as my podcast co-host James, who is attending to Easter-related family duties today, was indisposed. And I said, you know what, James, no problem. I have plenty to talk about, especially with the streak, winning streak the New York Rangers seem to be on. I sit down, I plug in all my stuff as normal. You know, I usually have everything set up. I turn on my audio interface and nothing happens. So I just say to myself, that's interesting. So I unplug it, plug it back in, go to turn on, nothing happens. Now I'm starting to sweat a little bit because obviously I have to A, record this podcast, and B, this interface I spent not a crazy amount, but a good amount of money on, and it would be real shame to have to spend that money again. And after a few tries, doesn't work. It seems to have kicked the bucket. I'm not going to mention the brand because, honestly, it's served me well for a very, very, very long time, and I haven't always been easy on it, but to no avail, doesn't work. So my first thought is like, all right, nothing I can do about this right now. Hindsight 2020, probably could have just recorded into my laptop mic, like so many other podcasts out there, but you know what? I would like to think that you've come to expect a quality if you've stuck with us this long. And I just figured, you know what? It is what it is. I'm not going to put something out there that people are going to turn on for 30 seconds and say, oh, well, this podcast sounds like crap today. It didn't sound like crap the other time, you know, so I'm just going to, and that's with extra EQing and compressing and just trying to get level matching and not to sound big and hollow and cavernous. So I said, you know what, especially because I don't know if you can hear it in this room, but the room I record in is, has a crazy reverb and is very loud. And I have to use some software after the fact to reduce room noise to make sure it's not just constant sirens and just the sound of traffic and just general ambient noise from the loudest city in the world, New York. So And that's with a good interface and a good mic and all the things I usually am running, the rig I'm running. It's just not an ideal situation, but I make the best of it using the technology available to me. But yeah, TLDR, I said, you know what? I'm going to sort this interface issue out, which I did. You know, luckily the company, I still, you know, it wasn't nothing I did. You know what I mean? And they were willing to replace it under warranty, which is great. Because it wasn't anything I did, and that's why I'm sticking, you know, with this company, which is great. But again, they don't pay me to say that, so I'm not going to mention their name. But that being said, I got that sorted out. Grabbed a brand new, same interface, just a brand new version of it. Works just exactly the same. Plugins and all that are all the same, and we're back, and we're rocking and rolling. So, but yeah, that was obviously frustrating because I love podcasting with all you guys, and I've already spent too many minutes talking about this. So let's just talk about the task at hand, the New York Rangers. And I mean, like I had mentioned before, what a productive road trip it was for them. Big wins in Colorado and over the Arizona Coyotes. Two games that necessarily weren't dominant performances, but have basically were honestly probably a better encapsulation of why the New York Rangers are currently and one of the top teams in the NHL this season. And because on any given night, an NHL team can just explode for goals or have a dominant performance. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you have the Arizona Coyotes coming to their game with the Rangers, basically put up 7 or 8 goals on the best team in the league as of late, the Nashville Predators. And any team can do that. But the thing the Rangers have been able to do this year is that in games where they're not so great, or games where they are porous defensively, or games they just don't have it, they find ways to win. They get timely special team scoring. They might give up a goal, but then they can hunker down. They might be under siege in their own end, but they at least let their goaltenders see it, or make Igor or Quick, or let them bail them out or make saves. And I mean, listen, the New York Rangers are very lucky in that they have two goaltenders that can do that for them, because there are some teams that are not going to make the playoffs this year because they only had one goaltender who could do that, or no goaltenders who could do that. So the New York Rangers are extremely fortunate. They're definitely one of the most opportunistic teams in the NHL. If you look at their underlying numbers, they're a fairly pedestrian to suboptimal 5-on-5 team in terms of generation, but they defend pretty good. They have excellent special teams, are among the top of the league in that. And their whole thing has always been, you know, they usually exceed their finishing talent, and, you know, and their PDO is usually a little high because, like I said, they have high quality finishers to what they generate. They're a little selective. Obviously, New York Ranger fans know this if you've ever screamed at them for overpassing or looking for the perfect shot, but their ability to go across the ice in cross crease passage is makes them one of the most dangerous shooting threats in the league, because they can thread passes to get high danger chances off like some of the best teams in the league, you know. And it's not that they're necessarily bullying their way there, but just their talent. I mean, Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere, the amount of seams they can find, and obviously Adam Fox. And when they're at their best, the way their D's activate, they're one of the, you know, they get, I believe they're second or third in the league in scoring from defensemen, just in terms of, what I should say is second or third in the league from scoring contribution rate for the whole team for defense scores. And that's what Laviolette wants to do. He wants his D to activate to create confusion in the offensive zone. There was nothing more emblematic than that. The Ryan Lindgren goal. Good night for Lindgren, by the way, who is honestly, since coming back from his injury, has looked real good, which is pretty good. But yeah, just essentially activating, creating confusion, especially those teams that play like, who maybe play more zone or who play man on man. And they're like, shit, like the guy I was covering just abandoned his post. Am I supposed to stay? Am I supposed to go? Should I look at the guy behind me? Creates confusion. Lindgren snuck down to the point. Lafreniere feeds it to Fox. Fox finds Lindgren at the side of the net. Basically, the two D-men on the play, one is behind, you know, essentially behind the goal line in the corner, and one is far post near the net, which is not where D-men usually are. But Hence, it creates confusion. They pick Lindgren up too late. Perfect dime from Fox to his D partner and stashed in the net. So that's when the Rangers are at their best. They can be patient and they can know when to activate and know when just to flip it out and play it safe. And there's a lot of teams that don't. A lot of teams that are extremely talented, like the Arizona Coyotes or the Buffalo Sabres, who can explode offensively on any given night, but they just are rigid and they play their way. And they're like, well, we're an offensive team who, we play this high octane up-tempo offense, which means we give up some defense. The Rangers, I feel like they're adaptable. And sometimes they expose themselves in one area, but then they trust their players to their team defense to chip in if they're like, all right, we're going to push for this. So we need timely saves from our goaltenders, and we need some timely penalty kills from our penalty killers. And we need some timely, big blocks and shot blocking and plays in our own end from our forwards who are helping our D-men out. And it's not always pretty and it's not always perfect, but they've been adaptable. And they're essentially, it's just that combination of just being adaptable. And I think usually they find themselves in trouble when they try to play into the other team's identity, when they try to get in a down the ice, run and gun, back and forth, trading chances, because that's just not who they are. I think it's better when they play a tight, connected game. Even if they are a slower team, then you have to, I think like anything else in life, not just in the National Hockey League, not to get big-brained or grasp at too many straws, but it's all about playing to your team's strengths and trying to minimize your weaknesses. The Rangers cannot make them a faster skating off the rush team, with overnight or with the blink of an eye. They just don't have the personnel. So how do you counteract that? You move the puck faster. You stay connected. You give yourself more outlets. You're not this group with their talent. They're not, if you look at basically, Zibanejad and Panarin and Lafreniere and there are some guys on this team who are like the pick up your lunch pail, dig them out, hardworking type. Obviously your Trocheks and your Cooleys and your VCs and your Brodzinskis and these sorts of folks. But even your Wenbergs, is just, they're more of a, for better or even Fox, for better for worse, it's not the Hurricanes, Rod Brind'Amour, lunch pail, endlessly forechecking working team. I mean, I hate to say this, but this group, for better for worse, most times better, but sometimes worse, is a little bit more silver spoon. They have a little bit more poise in their game. They have a little bit more, let's say selectiveness to their game. If there is an easier way to solve a problem, that's what they're going to do. And unfortunately, there are sometimes games and problems that can only be solved by working hard, especially when the opposing team is basically opposing their game on the New York Rangers. So, but that being said, the beauty of this team, or the curse, depending, like, because everything in life is a double-edged sword, right? Is that they have game-breaking skill and talent in their lineup, that even when things aren't going their way, they can get a Chris Kreider net front tip power play goal and be back in it. Or Artemi Panarin can just throw two shifts together with the Lafreniere and Trocheck line, and all of a sudden they can be up two goals after being down, or up a goal after being down, 1-0 3 minutes earlier after, two or three great shifts from that line. So, and that just, again, speaks to their adaptability. But there are going to be games where you're watching teams just kind of skate circles around the Rangers and them being hemmed in their own end for a while and them not really moving their feet or stop killing cycles in their own end or forechecking enough to generate anything, that it's going to be frustrating. But at the same time, I think the one thing the Rangers do have going for them is that they're pretty content to be like, you know what? We will let you tire you out. We understand that there are peaks and valleys to this game, and we're in a valley right now, and you're going to press because you're going to be feeling it. And if we can weather that storm, we will get our opportunities. They will come. And that's tough for a lot of teams to do. And I think they overthink and they change their game plan, or at least they, you know, when things aren't going their way. But the New York Rangers, whether they're up or they're down, it, you know, they can be, they can give up lots of leads like they did to the Coyotes, but they still think they're going to win. And they just figure it out. You know what I mean? And it's a skill. There's a lot of teams that really, that you can see that are poised to take that next step or hoping to take that next step, that they have that talent, but it's just the belief's not there. You know what I mean? They're honestly, there might be some teams from top to bottom are way more talented than the Rangers. I mean, aggregately, I'm saying, because obviously this team has that Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere line. You know, you have Kreider and Zibanejad, who are still, you look at the way they produce, and maybe they're having down years by their own accords. But the rest of the Rangers, other than Fox, the rest of the Rangers lineup, they're not world beaters. You know what I mean? Hell, you know, Barkley Goodrow's still kind of having a rough go at it for the Rangers, although he had that nice shorthanded goal against the Coyotes. But they have just the whole top to bottom, they have that belief. They just know they'll figure it out, which is, yeah, which is an amazing thing to have. The mental game is just as important as the physical one. And there are just teams that just, they blow. And the Rangers used to be that team too. You know, you just knew they were always going to give up the late goal in the dying seconds of the period or this or that or whatever. But they're much more mentally resilient the last few seasons as they've matured under the Zibanejad Kreider regime, I guess we'll say, right? But yeah, I guess to put a nice little bow on it, these past two games against the Colorado Avalanche and the Coyotes weren't always pretty. One was a very tight game, the Colorado game. And obviously that was to be expected, judging on A, the goaltending duel between Igor and Alexander Georgiev. Rangers win in the shootout narrowly after being down in that game, but then coming back with two timely goals. Obviously, Colorado getting one to equalize it, make it through OT. You know, in a game where Colorado was really pressing, because obviously the best team in the National Hockey League, at least from a points perspective, comes into your barn and they want to prove something. Obviously, with Nathan MacKinnon's crazy insane point streak also on the line. But Igor is able to outduel his old partner, Georgiev. The Rangers win in the shootout. And then the very next game, you know, they go into Arizona and it's off to the races. I think the Rangers, a combination of being tired and just kind of looking ahead, is just a little porous defensively. And they let themselves get into a track meet with the Coyotes, and obviously not the best idea, but at the same time, they're able to keep just pushing because they know they'll get their chances, and the Coyotes are definitely not as good defensively as the Avalanche. And they get their goals when they need them. And yeah, that game, instead of from a tight shootout win the day before to what, an 8-6 victory, you know, but they get the W, and that's all that matters to them. And they're, you know, it's like they don't ask how, they just ask how many, or at least during the regular season. The postseason, that remains to be seen if that's a recipe for success for this group, but they get it done. And in the process, they set a whole bunch of milestones. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem by calling 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. The NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. I mentioned that win over the Coyotes was a night of many milestones, and it was. I mean, where to start? Well, let's talk, get the obvious one out of the way. With that win, Jonathan Quick becomes the winningest American-born goaltender of all time. 392 wins, passing Ryan Miller, John Van Beesbrouck, Tom Barrasso, Craig Anderson, goalies like that. And obviously, considering what happened to the New York Rangers when they went to the Cup Final in 2014 against Jonathan Quick and the LA Kings at the time, if you had told me that in 2024, literally a decade later, that he would become the most winningest American born goaltender of all time playing for the New York Rangers, I would have thought you were crazy. But here we are. And the New York boy comes home, and usually, I think we spoke about this before, I was a big detractor of the move to bring Quick here. I thought his game was over. I thought he was finished. And he's just been able to do this with this team. And you saw the way he was mobbed by his teammates at the end of the game, just rushing him in the net and giving him a hug. You know, it just kind of really speaks to how well he's fit on this team and how integral he's been for the chemistry in the locker room and how much confidence they have in him and just how he's played. And, you know, he, like, it's hard to have a perfect season as a goalie. It only happens. But even though he's, you know, he's made a lot of great saves, especially early on when he was so hot, I think he's been less hot recently. But just like the team, even though, you know, you're letting a bit one, you know, maybe a goal you should have had or a goal that you had no chance on, but you just cannot let those things rattle you. And he just you play the game, continue to play the game that is in front of you. And he's done that this year. So even the games where he's given up a bunch of goals or, you know, three or four goals, he's getting wins out of those games because he does not quit. No quit in New York, no quit in Jonathan Quick. So congratulations to Jonathan. That's a hell of an accomplishment. And they, you know, the Rangers had a nice video package for him from former teammates, Henrik Lundqvist, Mike Richter, other American goalies, you know, Ryan Miller, just basically congratulating him on what a feat that was. So really cool to see. Congratulations to him. It was a milestone night for Chris Kreider. He gets his 300th career goal in the NHL, all with the New York Rangers. So that's pretty awesome for him. I mean, it stands to reason that at the pace he's going, that he could continue to break records with this team, provided he stays on this team for a few seasons. I mean, in terms of just pure games played, I think he's currently 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's currently seventh with 807, but he only needs essentially another 35 or so games to pass Vic Hadfield to move up, and then another 20 after that to pass John Rattel. You know, then there's a big jump. He needs 945 games to pass Walt Tkachuk. So obviously, you think playing 82 games a season, you know, in another if he can stick around this team for another three seasons. And I don't know if these are games played or I don't think they're counting postseason games, but he could, by the time he's said and done, he could at least be in the top three, you know, behind Gilbert and Brian Leetch. I don't think he'll ever get to Leetch's 1,100 games, but I could be wrong. I mean, for he's a physical specimen, and the Rangers have shown at least that they value him and aren't looking to trade him. But I mean, when it comes to goals, he's in third now. I mean, 300 career NHL goals, all with the Rangers. He only needs another 36 goals to pass Rattel. So if he's here another two seasons, that puts him in second. And then 406, Gilbert, he'd need another, you know, another from today, as I record this, he would need another 106 goals. So that's harder. That's, you know, let's say he just gets 20 goals for the next four seasons, just to be conservative. Maybe he'll get more, you know, maybe he can have another 30 goal season next season. I don't know. Maybe he can have another crate. It could, you know, not out of the realm of possibility. He can have another 50 goal season just with his tipping gets back to where he needs it to be. But just let's just be conservative. Let's just say 20 goal season for Chris Kreider. I mean, again, that would be 5 20 goal seasons, which would be tough to do. So I don't know if he gets there, but he can get to second, because he's only 36 away. So it's just pretty crazy to think, when you just think about him coming in as a, you know, essentially as a rookie during the playoffs for the Rangers all those years ago in that Ottawa series. And yeah, it's just pretty crazy to think about. But again, I mean, he's going to break some records for the Rangers either way, and he's just going to find himself in the upper echelon of their alumni in terms of that. So that's pretty crazy. You know, It's also kind of crazy to think that Mika Zibanejad could eventually, despite the head start, could pass Chris Kreider for terms of points. Although, you know, Panarin is probably going to work his way up that list pretty quickly as well as time goes on here. You know what I mean? But, you know, Mika just behind Chris with, I think Kreider's got 544 career points. Mika's at 518, and it's obviously possible he could outpace him if he sticks around longer. But again, those are topics for another day. But again, what a huge accomplishment for Chris Kreider. Even more, I guess milestones, you know, Alexi Lafreniere, his first hat trick, his first 5-point game. And he's just been coming on and just showing that deadly shot more recently. And I think we all understand that despite him having a personal best season, you know, you look and it might say, oh, 20 goals, 50 points. All right, that's good, but superstar. But, you know, you understand he's not playing on the power play. The fact that he's getting hot right now, and you kind of understand what he could maybe be when he is finally given the full keys. I mean, kudos to Peter Laviolette and his coaching staff for finally unlocking this kid's talent and utilizing it the best, just stapling him to that line. And like all other teams have done with their first overall picks, just putting them in the position for them to maximize what they should have. You know, they had the skills that got them picked first overall. You have to put them in a position to maximize that. And you just see the way he oozes confidence now. He's strong on the puck. He makes tough plays. That second goal, him and Trocheck just not giving up on a play. And just using letting his natural instincts and skill take over to score a slick goal that it would be hard for anyone. I mean, that first goal, that shot, whoo boy. That's what you wanted when you draft Lafreniere. Just confidence, skill, the placement of that puck was perfect. The shot was, was just perfect placement, was a snipe. And just the confidence to command puck, and then all of a sudden, as... The good thing for him is as he can continue to do that and show that he can do that, that teams are going to have to respect him more and that they're just not going to try to glom onto him. You know what I mean? They're like, I could go after him, but if he shoots this puck, I kind of got to be ready to clean up rebounds or whatever. So it should buy him more space and then he can deke more. And, you know, just his the way he's improved has been so awesome to see. And honestly, I think James and I have spoken about this before, that we were kind of nervous for the next wave of or the future of this organization, because it's like when this, if it does not work in the Mika and Kreider regime, this they're screwed. But, you know, even with the Hedl injury, which hurts, you start thinking of, well, one day you could have a team that still is Fox and Shesterkin and Lafreniere. Who knows what Panera and how he's going to age, but and Cooley and now obviously now players like Gabe Perreault and maybe Kako's still here. And all of a sudden you're like, all right, there are building blocks here. You know what I mean? It's they might have to find the high end guy. Maybe hopefully Lafreniere can become that guy, but there are teams that are successful with less. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it all it takes is having a game changer net, a game changer on your back end, and then a game changer up front. And then all of a sudden, it's less pressure on the rest of those pieces to be those players. You obviously need good players. You know, you have to have a plethora of good talent, but the best teams in the league, they at least have those cornerstones. Then obviously you have teams like Chicago that, although they have Bedard, they have no one else. You know, San Jose is nobody. Arizona, they have some really, really good players, but they just do not have that one guy yet. They're trying to develop or draft that guy. And who knows? I think what we've seen from Cooley so far has been pretty impressive. He can maybe become that guy, but that's what you need. And that's what the Rangers hopefully can have in Lafreniere and the other young players in their organization and on this team as they continue to grow and step up and marinate. You know what I mean? Just having Keandre and Schneider and Fox, just those three locked in on your back end is huge. It makes the whole equation, at least in terms of your back end going forward, much easier. You know what I mean? But I digress. 5 points. Huge game for Lafreniere. He's coming on. He's heating up. So that's good to see, especially we've seen that he can be a gamer in the playoffs. And Yeah, I mean, just him getting more confident is bad news for the rest of the league. So, and I guess finally, the last thing I kind of want to talk about it was Jacob Trouba finally returned to the lineup and was not that good in that game. A little porous defensively. I think it's becoming more apparent, especially the way they played defensively when he was out of the lineup, is that obviously Laviolette goes back to his Trouba-Miller pairing, put Schneider back with Jones, and all of a sudden the Rangers kind of seem to have some old familiar problems. I think you saw when Schneider and Keandre were paired together, although, yes, they had some gaffes, but at the same time, they played a much more active attack mentality style of defense, a lot more willing to challenge and jump up, where Trouba's more talented to just kind of skate backwards and collapse and keep a huge gap and let the team enter the zone, which just does not help them and get turnstiled. So you got to hope he finds his footing in the playoffs, because if Laviolette, you know, I think there was a lot of hope on social media that Peter Laviolette would see what he had in the pairing of Schneider and Miller and stick with that and maybe stick Jones with Trouba on the third pairing. But who knows, you know, or Gustafson when he comes back. And there's still potential for that, but, you know, I mean, that's what I would do. I would have Gustafson and Trouba on the third pairing in offensive situations, because, again, I've spoken ad nauseum of how I think Jacob Trouba is a miscast offensive defenseman. You have Miller and Schneider as your shutdown pair, and Fox and Lindgren, obviously, as your do-it-all pair, you know, because Fox is just so brilliant. And when Lindgren's playing well and following suit, that's such an effective group. They can shut down big lines, transition the other way, and put up points. So that's what I think should happen. But we just got to hope that Laviolette kind of gets there of his own accord. But it's tough, because I think in a lot of ways, you know, it'll be easier once it's Gustafson's back, because you're like, oh, he's a good D-man. So it doesn't seem like you put him with Jones right now. That might seem like a bit of a demotion. And you don't know what message that sends to your captain or says to the room. But again, you know, hopefully it was one bad outing for Trouba. Let's hope it doesn't continue. But, you know, listen, he deserves the benefit of the doubt, I guess. But again, you just hope that as this goes on, it doesn't become a little bit more of the elephant in the room, because this is a team that, although they're top of the league, you have PK Subban and all these other people, you know, Paul Bissonnette, whoever, haters, detractors, whatever, saying, yes, the Rangers might win the President's Trophy, or yes, they're the top team in the regular season, but they're not the best team in the NHL. They would get smoked in a 7-game series because they're too this. They're too lazy. They don't skate fast enough. They're too slow, whatever. Too many old guys, you know, they don't care enough, not enough skill, whatever. Whatever you want to say to detract from this team. Don't generate enough 5-on-5, but they're frauds, whatever. There's a lot of that. And, you know, there's a lot to be true, because this team is not perfect, but I don't think any team in the National Hockey League is perfect. You know, you see some of these teams that are absolute machines and weapons, like the Florida Panthers at times, or the Nashville Predators at the top of their game. I don't know if I necessarily see that same level of killer instinct from the Rangers, but what I do see is the same level of at least arrogant belief that they are going to win games, and just because based on the personnel they have. You know what I mean? And it's not so much this, like, we're going to meat grind people, everyone mentality that some teams seem to have, which works out for them great. But I think the Rangers are more realistic about their personnel and who they have and what their identity is. And they're like, you know what? You can have that mentality and be that team. And there's on any given night, it's not going to go your way. But that's fine, because we don't give up. We'll find a way to make it work. We'll find a way to make it win. And right now, it's kind of clear that even though they keep winning at an insane clip, that they're just taking it one day at a time, even though I'm sure they're just looking ahead to the playoffs and saying, God, when can you drop the pucks in the playoff? But hopefully they continue to take one game at a time and stay healthy. I will be in attendance at the Garden tomorrow night for that Penguins game. Second game I've been to this year. The only other one was the Stadium Series, so that's fun. Got very nice to get invited by my cousin. We have Delta Club tickets, so I'm going to get that sweet free buffet and all that food, which is always nice because I love free things and not, you know, I'm going to spend an arm and a leg and, you know, have to sell some blood just to afford a tall boy at the game. So it's nice to at least get some free food for my troubles. And hopefully, you know, Pittsburgh, even though they're out of it, they're still a dangerous team. So hopefully, again, if you're looking at the standings, the New York Rangers, despite being the number one team in the NHL as of right now, I mean, Carolina is only 3 points behind them. Granted, the Rangers do have a game in hand, but, you know, there's a lot of interesting machinations for how this could play out. I mean, the Flyers have fallen to the second wildcard spot. Right now, the Detroit Red Wings are on the outside looking in. Dylan Larkin, they just lost to injury. Who knows what's going on with him? I haven't seen what the diagnosis with that is. I assume he's done for the year, but maybe not. But as it stands right now, the Rangers being in that first wildcard spot would end up playing the Flyers, the Rangers, who are first in the Metro and first in the East, would end up playing wildcard two, which is currently the Philadelphia Flyers. But, you know, if some reason they get a little cold in Boston, you know, who has 101 points with one more game played. So the Rangers 3 points ahead with a game in hand. But if that flips somehow, then the Rangers would have to end up playing Tampa in the second, you know, in that first wildcard spot, which would be tough. Or Carolina catches the Rangers in the Metro. The Rangers slot down to second in the Metro and then play the Washington Capitals. So it's pretty nuts because their fate is not locked in yet. So even though I'm sure they want to rest guys and they will cycle guys, like Laviolette said, they keep winning games. So hopefully that hunger stays and whoever's not getting the night off still has that same no quit in New York mentality to keep picking up points. Because I think at the end of the day, you just want to be in the habit of winning and figuring things out and making it work for you. Because, yeah, like I said, no team's ever going to be perfect, but I don't think the Rangers are chasing perfection because they don't ask how, they just ask how many.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Voice Podcast. Be sure to follow us on X at Broadway Voice Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.